Good morning, everyone. First check, how's the sound?
Good.
Sounds good? Okay, great. Well, this morning we're going to be starting on the last chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look, Lord willing, at the first 9 verses of Ephesians chapter 6. So I would like to have somebody, if they would, please, to stand up and read Ephesians 6, 1 through 9, and then we'll start our study on those verses one at a time. Do I have a volunteer? Ephesians 6, 1 through 9. Okay, Dave.
Stand up, huh?
Well, you've got a good loud voice, so you don't have to, but if...
All right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord, and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, that there is no partiality with him.
Okay, thank you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning just for the privilege of being here, for this beautiful facility, for the freedom that we enjoy, and the grace that we are just immersed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our eyes to the scriptures, that we might apply them to ourselves in every way that is applicable. May your grace rest upon this time, we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. When I first start looking at Ephesians chapter 6, I get the impression, and probably you do also, that this is basically aimed at parents that have children. So let's just strike that from the record right now. It goes far beyond this, far beyond this. The first verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That one definitely applies to children. Let's look at some of these references that I have put on your study sheet. Hosea chapter 14, verse 9. Someone else look up Proverbs 23, verse 22. And someone else look up Colossians 3:20. And someone look up 1 Timothy 5:4. Let's read those verses, and then we'll talk a little bit about this first verse. Hosea 14:9.
Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning, he will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right, the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them.
The ways of the Lord are right. And you'll notice that in verse 1 of chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. It is what the Lord has commanded, and his ways are right. Proverbs 23:22.
Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old.
Yes. Proverbs 23:22, do not despise your mother when she is old. Colossians 3:20.
Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord.
So there's another way in which God's word says this is right. In Colossians 3:20 it says this is well pleasing to the Lord. And 1 Timothy 5:4.
But if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God.
Yes. So this is talking about an issue we don't get much involved with nowadays. It was during the days when the church basically was the center of the community. And if there were widows in the community or widowers and they needed financial help, Paul's admonition here is you want to make sure that the children are taking care of their parents first. And if that doesn't work, then the church is supposed to step in. But the first line of defense, if I could use that word, the first application of caring for widowers and widows is the children. So obey your parents in the Lord as unto the Lord. And Paul adds the note that this is right. In other words, we could translate that as it is your duty. It is the duty as a parent. Now, we'll take a look at verse 2, and then we're going to come back to talk a little bit more about verses 1 and 2. What's the second commandment to children in 6:2? And I need somebody to read Exodus 20, verse 12, Esther chapter 2, verse 20, and Matthew chapter 15, verses 4, 5, and 6. So let's talk about Exodus 20, verse 12.
Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you.
Yes, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long. Esther chapter 2, verse 20. This is a very interesting passage.
Esther had not made known her kindred or her people as Mordecai had commanded her. For Esther obeyed Mordecai just as when she was brought up by him.
Okay, now if you go back through the book of Esther, and I read that yesterday, it's a very interesting book, Mordecai and all, it's just very interesting. But without doing that, I'll just give you the Reader's Digest version here. Esther was had lost her mother and father. They had both passed away. And Mordecai said, I'll take her and raise her as my own. And so as it's recorded here, as she grew older and older and was in the king's favor, she basically treated Mordecai just like her parents, even in her older age, when she was in her 20s and 30s probably. She obeyed him just like she obeyed her parents. Now, I think that's an interesting observation about her, and the Lord really blessed her. The whole book is written around her and Mordecai. Matthew 15, verses 4, 5, and 6.
For God said, honor your father and mother,
And he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whatever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine might have been helped by his, has been given to God. He is not to honor his father, nor his mother. And thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition.
Okay, so let's see if we can kind of translate this and put it into common language. The leaders of the church, the leaders of the congregation at that time, basically they looked at the statement in the Old Testament that basically said, children, obey your parents and provide for them. And their leaders got together and said, let's do this a little bit different. Let's have people take the money that they would have given to provide support for their parents and have them say, this is dedicated to the Lord, and give it to the church. Therefore, that's right. And what does Jesus say about that? You have canceled, you have erred because you have canceled out the Word of God with your own tradition. Because God's Word does not say that, and they had, quote, found a loophole that allowed them to, allowed a person to say, well, gee, Mom and Dad, I know you have a need in your old age, and I have this money that's been set aside to take care of you, but I have to give it to the church because it's dedicated to the Lord. So sorry, you're not going to get it. And Jesus said, no, absolutely not. Now let's take a look at.
He put to death, didn't he?
Yes.
Pretty serious.
It is. It's very serious. It's very serious, and it isn't just what they did. It's the principle behind what they did. The principle is, we can override the Word of God with our principles as long as we have something that sounds good. And let's face it, it sounds good. This money is dedicated to the Lord. What's better than that? Well, what's better than that is to obey. Is to obey. And so, it's just interesting. So, let's take a look at verse 3. Verse 3 kind of goes right together with verse 2. Honor your father and mother. And then in parentheses, it says, this is the first commandment with a promise. And that's all the way back in Exodus. That's the first commandment that God gave to the children of Israel. And it's the first commandment that was given that actually had a promise with it. And what is the promise? We'll see that here in a minute. That it may go what? May go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Okay. So how would you describe, this is the third question on your sheet, how would you describe 6:1? And I've put a couple references there. Jeremiah 35:14, somebody look that up. And Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 52. Jeremiah 35, 14.
Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his sons not to drink wine, and this command has been kept. To this day they do not drink wine, because they obey their forefathers' command. But I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not obeyed me.
Yes, you have not obeyed me. And Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 52.
And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all the Pharisees were amazed at his understanding. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Well, this is King James. I don't usually have it, but that's what I have today. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrow. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Knew ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he, 252, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God.
Okay. This is always an amazing thing because people try to wiggle out of these commands so many different ways, and the Lord just puts in illustration after illustration after command, and basically there isn't any way to wiggle out of it. The Lord Himself, this is the Lord who created all things. I mean, does he have to be obedient to his parents? And the answer is
no.
Yes. Yes. He went back and was submissive to them. Even though he said to them, don't you know that I should be about my father's business? And yet he turned around and went back home to obey his parents. So chapter 6, verse 1 is about the child's actions, what they do. There is some feeling, although it is not stated, as far as I can find in Scripture, it is not stated expressly, but it is implied, and the Jews as a nation in general applied this, that children obey your parents in the Lord is a statement that applies to the child while they are still in the home. But do you understand that? Well, and there was for the male child as he was growing up, when he reached about 12 years of age, they would have a ceremony, a bar mitzvah, I think it is, or something. And at that point, he would be declared an adult. And some felt that that was the point where that particular statement ceased. Now, the scripture doesn't say that, but I'm just telling you what the interpretations are for chapter 6, verse 1. However, when we get to chapter 6, verse 2, how would you describe chapter 6, verse 2? And let's look at these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. Somebody look that up. Deuteronomy 27:16. Somebody look that up, please. And John 19, verses 25, 26, and 27. So this is how the question here is, how would you describe chapter 6, verse 2. The question that we just looked at is, how would you describe chapter 6, verse 1? And interestingly enough, there is a difference here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4.
If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to require their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God.
Okay, so that has to do with their attitude. Has to do with their attitude. Deuteronomy 27:16.
Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people said, Amen.
So this was a case where it was the attitude as well as an action, because if you have the wrong attitude, it will ultimately demonstrate by an action. And this was the case of a child who cursed their father or their mother, and they were to be put to death. John 19, verses 25, 6, and 7.
Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved stand by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took up his own home.
So I don't know if everybody has thought through that particular passage and grasped the significance of what happened there. Jesus is on the cross. He is within hours of dying, and he sees John, the apostle John, the apostle whom he loves, and Mary, his mother, was there. And from the cross, in the agony that he is in the cross, with all the suffering that he has gone through, just unbelievable, he turns to John and he says, John, I want you to take Mary as your mother. And Mary, I want you to take John as your son. Replacing him. He was going to die. He was not going to be there physically to take care of his mother as the scriptures required. And so he turns to John and he says, John, I want you to take my place and you take care of my mother. Everybody understand that? And he commands John, you take Mary and take care of her.
Was that because Jesus was the oldest? Because he did have brothers?
I'm not sure. I don't know. He was the oldest, obvious. And generally speaking, the responsibility to care for the parents would fall to the eldest. So maybe that's it. I don't know. I've never followed it any further in detail than just that. But the point that I think, at least what I wanted to make in this, is the significance of how high the responsibility to care for parents is elevated in Scripture. This is not a trivial matter. This is something that was elevated by the first statement, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And by the way, the honor your father and mother has no expiration. That lasts until death do us part. If you look at verse 3, well, at verse 2, honor your father and mother, This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land.
This is a promise to the Jew in the land, correct?
Well, this is for the Jews.
Right.
This is for the Jews, but other translations for this later on, including in the New Testament, say in the earth. So you can't get out of it. You can't get out of it by saying, well, I'm not in the land of Israel anymore. This has to do with command to the Jews. It goes beyond Jews. It was given to the Jews because they were God's people and he gave it to them, but it is a command that is applicable to everyone who walks the face of this planet. And it is also a command that is required as long as the parents and you are alive, as long as it is physically possible. So verse 1, children, obey your parents, that probably has an expiration to it. I'm not going to be strong about that because the scripture does not say that. But there is a point where the obedience of a child to a parent probably expires as they move out of the house and take their own family. But it never, ever becomes a case where honor your father and mother does not apply. That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. There are cases in the Old Testament, I didn't put them in here, didn't want to take the time on it, but there are cases specifically where the children did not honor their father and mother, and God took their life.
Yes, he did.
The scripture says that when you are created in your mother's womb, and this is all happening before the foundation of the earth, God sees you. He plans for you. He gives you a number of days. I don't know whether you know that or not. I believe that's in Jeremiah. But when you are created, God has assigned to you a certain number of days on this earth. You're going to live that long regardless. But if you do not obey your parents and honor your parents, you can shorten those days. You can shorten those days, yes.
How does that apply when people have evil, wicked parents? How does that apply to that? Honoring someone that is evil. I mean, we know that exists.
I knew somebody was going to ask that. I am so glad you gave me that question. And honestly, I do not know. I do not know. I think that is something that if you or if someone else is in that particular situation, and their parents are not God-fearing parents, and they have just commanded that you do evil things, I don't know. I think you're going to have to study the scriptures, look at the situation, and just turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, what am I supposed to do here? It could happen. It definitely could happen, but I don't know. Bob?
I think there's a difference between honoring and supporting. So if you had parents, and we're reading more and more stories these days about parents killing their children, if they did something evil, it doesn't mean you have to support them in it, but you would still honor them by visiting them in jail, by doing whatever you could to help them get the best defense and so on. But you don't have to stand there and say, they're innocent, you just don't understand and so on. Big difference between honoring and supporting.
Well, I think that I absolutely agree with what you're saying, and that basically it is in verse 2, it is to honor your father and mother. That does not mean that you agree with them on everything. When you are a child in the home, you should be obedient, unless, of course, they're asking you or commanding you to do something that is absolutely wrong according to the Word of God. Now, some children aren't going to be able to be discerning enough. They're not old enough to understand that. So you can ask all kinds of questions here, and I can't answer them, but I can tell you this. Honoring your father and mother is always the right thing to do. Marty?
Oh, you know, I have an opinion about this.
Yes, I hope so.
So, Wayne's father was very physically, mentally, sexually abusive to his siblings. And as Wayne became a Christian, he, as a child, they had to do as they were told, right? He absolutely knew that, which led to sometimes doing things that were illegal, for example. But as he became a Christian, he really struggled with what honor means. To the day he died, he told fact and truth about his parent, but not demeaning him and talking about the evil. But forgiving was his way of honor. I mean, he had a really good pastoral leader with him who helped him understand that forgiving is the honoring sometimes, that you may not be able to resist what your parent is asking you to do because of physical or mental consequence. But forgiving is the honoring that you do. And so in my work at SCAN, that's a lot of times Christian kids would come to me and say, my dad, or like we have young women who are being prostituted by their parent. How they get through that is to understand that forgiving them is for you, it's not for them, but that's your only way to honor them.
Yep. And to that point, and to what Bob was saying, I believe that this is a heart issue, and that the Lord examines the heart, and if your heart is right and you are struggling with this, God is going to bless that. But if you refuse to even try to honor your parents, God is going to see that too. So it is not to say that there aren't situations where obeying your parents and honoring your parents is not a difficult thing. But I just want to emphasize to you one thing. The obey part probably applies while you're in the home. When you leave the home for employment, for marriage, for whatever, you step out from underneath your parents' authority in the sense of obedience. But it does not, you do not step out from underneath your parents in terms of honoring. Everybody understand the difference? Honoring goes to the grave. So, if you have parents that are still living, this applies to you. And you should be struggling with it just like everybody.
This is probably getting off on a rabbit trail, I don't know, but I keep thinking, principle, when we're blessed with children, we're given the responsibility to train them up to honor, care for them. And then when we get old, that kind of flips, and the children are commanded to care for it.
Yes. Interesting, isn't it? And I don't know, that should be something that our culture instills in people, and it also is something that we as parents should instill in our children. That, and it not so much because we're hoping for some kind of a return. We should instill it in them because it's God's word, and it says right here, this is the first commandment with a promise. If you want your children to have a long life and to prosper, you need to teach them that they need to care for their parents. And the same way in the reverse situation. So these verses are very powerful, and I think verse 2 is so interesting. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment. Remember, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not, what, all that. This is the first commandment that God wrote with his finger on the tablets. And this is the first commandment with a promise, and the promise is that you may live long and prosper in the land. So if you want to have long life for your children, if you want to have them prosper, pay attention to this. Okay. Now, right after we've done that, what does Paul immediately demand of the fathers? Chapter 6, verse 4. It has always just irritated me that it doesn't say anything about mothers. See? Now,
Where is the responsibility?
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, I know there are some translations that make a stab at this and kind of change the wording a little bit and say parents. And probably there is a sense in which it is parents. But I've got to tell you, there is no translation of this thing other than what it says. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Now, why would God say that? Marty?
Because dads are supposed to be like him, and he does not rile us up.
Okay. Good point. Fathers are supposed to be like Christ, and Christ would not do that. What else?
He's the head of the household.
He's the head of the household. Right. What else?
You have to honor your parents if they're beating up on you.
Okay. You know, I'm going to get out on a limb here. I've been on this limb before, and people will saw it off while I'm out here. But while I'm on this limb, I just want to say this. Men are stronger than women emotionally. And God has designed man that way so that he will be the head. He is the head of the household. And he is structured stronger because that's what God wants him to do. However, it is very possible for the man to take what God has given him and to pump it up and to become obsessive about it. And so much so that he does what? When he disciplines, what does it say here? He angers his children. A husband who overexerts his authority is possible, is capable of angering the child so much so that they are never going to what? Honor their parents. Isn't that interesting? I mean, it all comes right in a line here. Children, obey your parents. Honor your mother and father. Fathers, don't overemphasize, don't over-discipline your children so that they become angry. It's not. This is not a separate statement. It's all one thought. Do you understand? The children should obey. But to the comments that we've had here already about, you know, there's ways in which this can be overused. That's what he says in verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I have to say, as a father having raised two children, I wasn't always good at this. And I'm not proud of it. And I have confessed it to the Lord and just said, you know, sometimes you just have a really bad day at work, you know? And when you come home, you just take it out on the first one. I understand why verse 4 is in here. And if you are a father, we don't have any fathers with young children here this morning, I don't think. But if we did, the word to them is, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. And the children that it's talking about there would be the children that are in your household. That would be the primary emphasis. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. And I think Marty is exactly right. Fathers are supposed to be an example of Christ, and Christ does not provoke and does not judge discipline in anger. He disciplines because he loves us. He disciplines because he cares for us and he wants us to grow up and mature in him. Marty?
Well, so being a woman, a child of a single mother for most of my life, and now a widow, it is really hard to sit and listen to you talk about men being stronger than. And, I mean, it's just hard to swallow. It's not, but it's the fact in the Bible, right? It's clear. But it also, all the Bible talks about the relationship between husband and wife. And so, not that whole, it's not a power thing, right? It's not, he's in charge of her, right? It's, they're working together so that when that widow happens or whatever, she is equipped, right? Because she's had this strong relationship with someone to help her.
Yep.
And that makes it easier for me to swallow. I know there are other women here sitting saying, they just don't want to say that loud.
Well, that's the reason I said I was out on a limb, you know. Whoever would cut it off. So, well, these verses are strong verses about responsibility, about obedience, about subjection, about all those things. That's what these references are about. And the reference from Esther is very interesting, because Esther was obedient, but it wasn't to her mother and father. It was to her adopted father. So the principle there is that she was submissive to the one who had been placed over her, authority-wise. So you can do what you want to with that, but the Lord saw that, and he blessed her, and he blessed Mordecai, he blessed that whole situation, and basically saved the nation of Israel. Go back and read the book of Esther. It's an interesting read. If you haven't read that for a while, it's a very interesting read. And it elevates this principle of being submissive and obedient, even putting her life on the line. For her, she was going to have to go back and stand in the king's presence. And if you went and to stand in the king's presence and he did not invite you, they cut your head off. And so Mordecai said, I want you to go back and stand before the king and I'll tell you what to say. And she said, but if I do that, you know, it could be my life. And he said, well, do it. And she did it.
I was just, it made me think when Marty said, not sure what, but for me, like, I was a single mom for 10 years, and Steve Lonbury said, so I talked to him one time, and because of raising, I had two boys, and it was hard. And I remember Steve Lonbury saying, you can't be the father, you know. God, you're the mother, so you can't. And I had to discipline them too, you know, living yep. with me. But it made me feel better because he would say, you know, it's hard because there isn't the dad, you know, God is their father. But I couldn't, he said, don't try to be both the dad and the mom, you know, you're not the dad, so you're not going to be. Why God, they have a dad, but he's not doing what he's supposed to, and it just helped me that he said that. It yep. made me feel better, though.
Yeah.
You know, God has it laid out the way it's supposed to be.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's a situation where you struggled with it, but God saw your heart, he saw what the intent was, and he takes care of things that are like that because he looks at the heart. And when he sees the heart is right, he takes care of it. So, thanks for that input. Okay, well, I think we'll stop right here this morning. We're basically down to the point where we're going to talk about employees and employers, and so that might apply to somebody here. And Lord willing, we'll talk about that next week. Father, thank you so much for you and for the incredible grace in which we stand. Lord, you are just such a wise God. There is no wisdom, there is no understanding except yours. You are the source of every wise thing. And I pray that you, by your Spirit, would give us understanding, especially for those areas that are around the edges, that aren't right where they should be, parents that aren't where they should be, children that aren't there, and a society that's not there. May you just give us wisdom to live lives that are pleasing to you and honoring to you, and you will take care of the rest. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for this time together this morning. May you bless and watch over us, and should you tarry this week, we pray you'd bring us back together again to fellowship and study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.